When we take the communion, Paul had told us to discern the body of Christ. So we need to identify the different things that happen to the body of Christ. First, we'll note that this is matzah bread. And matzah bread is made without yeast. That's important because yeast is significant of sin in the Bible. We know that Jesus' body is and was without sin. He never made a mistake. Also, you'll notice that this bread has been beaten and pounded flat. The Bible tells us that Jesus' body was beaten and bruised for us. He was beaten for our transgressions and wounded for our iniquities. You also notice that there's stripes in this bread. And the Bible tells us that it's by his stripes we were healed. You'll notice that this bread has holes in it. Everywhere that Jesus' body was pierced, he shed blood, and we get redemption in some area. You'll also notice that this bread has been slightly burned. That means that the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus when he was on that cross. In fact, the exact moment was the first time that Jesus ever addressed his Father as God. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He had always called him Father before that. And that was when the world turned dark. In fact, God turned his face away from Jesus. Jesus said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. You know, because God turned his face away from Jesus, he'll never turn his face away from you. That's good news. So we're taken to this broken body for our healing and our well-being. The blood of Jesus is so perfectly pure because it's the blood of God. Jesus did not have the blood of Adam coursing through his veins. He had the blood of God. There's no blood in him anymore. He is alive, but there's no blood. He's flesh and bone. He shed all of his blood for us. Not only did that blood wash away our sins, but that blood protects us, and that blood has made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And it's because of that blood of Jesus that we can go boldly into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in times of need. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. All right. Is there anybody in here that is guaranteed 20 more years of life? Is there anybody in here guaranteed 5 more years of life? Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Is there anybody in here guaranteed tomorrow? Is there anybody in here that can change anything they did yesterday? Anybody in here that can change anything you did 20 years ago? Anybody in here that can change anything that happened 100 years ago? Okay. So you need to quit being remorseful about yesterday. And quit worrying about tomorrow. You have one day. If you wake up in the morning, you got one day. Live your best life. Make it the best you can. That's all you got is today. Does anybody in here know the Serenity Prayer? It goes something like this. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. See, people have this crazy habit of living in tomorrow or camping in yesterday. And they just waste their day. They're worried about tomorrow. They're worried about what happened. There's people that are worried about what happened in the 1800s, 1700s, 1500s. They need answers to that right now, or life can't be right. What can you do about it? You can't do anything about it. There's people that are worried that the third temple is about ready to get built. Can you change it? Is there anything you can do about it? No. There's nothing that you can do about a lot of things. But see, people give themselves ulcers, worried about what's going to happen tomorrow, worried about what happened 500 years ago. You got today. That's all you get is today. So live your best life today. Live it up. Live it up like you're the child of God. Let's look at Joel chapter 2, verse 31. It says, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. You know, we've seen a lot of signs and wonders in the sky. There's been a lot of things. How many blood moons have we seen? Super moons and all kinds of stuff. And the planets all lining up. And astronomical odds of all this stuff happening. And blood moons happening during the Jewish feasts. We've seen a lot of signs and wonders. That's prophesied in the Bible. Even Jesus said we'd see signs and wonders in the sky. We've seen wars, famines, rumors of wars, earthquakes. We've seen a lot of stuff. Can you change any of it? You know, there's a lot of people that are so wrapped up in everything Trump does. And I'm serious. There's people that swear that he's evil, that he's on the Epstein list and everything else. Can you do anything about it? Can you change it? What happens if Trump, at nearing the end of his last term, jumps up and says he's the Antichrist? Is there anything you can do about it? What really matters? What really matters is that you are a child of God. Amen? See, we have to focus on the really important stuff. You know, people, there's little kid songs. You know, people, little kids run around saying, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. A lot of adults need to get that song in their head. Amen? There's just a whole bunch of things about this world that you can't do anything about. Did you ever notice that? You don't have nearly as much control as you think you do. But let's look at John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus said, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." You know, that's good news for us. Jesus was explaining to us where the problems come from, the thief. If it's stealing, killing, and destroying, it's coming from the thief. There's a whole bunch of pastors that need to learn this verse. Because they blame God for a lot of stuff. Jesus came that we might have life, and that we might have it more abundantly. Now, you know, you would think that when somebody heard that, that would be a cause for a celebration. Look down at verse 19. It says, "There was a division therefore again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He has a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him?" One of these guys just received good news and they called him the devil. You know, God takes a lot of blame for a lot of stuff that He didn't do. Then it really irritates me when pastors use that verse. You know, when pastors blame God for something, you know, maybe a baby dies and they say, "Well, God needed another angel in heaven." What a lie. That's a lie straight from the pit of hell. And pastors use it. Why can't you just tell them the truth? Say, I don't understand why your baby passed away. But Jesus received him in heaven. Amen. And now your baby's safe. But pastors in their confusion and trying to comfort people will say, "Well, God's seen the sin that your baby was going to go through growing up. And He just decided that He'd take him out of there so he didn't have to go through that." No. No. That's not true. The thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came that we could have life and have it more abundant. That's the Zoe kind of life, have it overflowing in us. Look at Proverbs chapter 12, verse 28. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 28 says, "In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof is no death." See, when you get born again, the Bible tells us that you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what happens to you at the new birth. Now, you're in the way of righteousness. God expects there to be life for you and abundance for you. He doesn't want death in your life. In fact, God never created death. See, death never came about until Adam ate of that fruit. Jesus wouldn't even hardly say that word. In fact, Lazarus was in the tomb and Jesus said he's just resting. He was telling his friends, he was telling his disciples. And finally, he got tired of them nagging at him and he finally said, "He's dead. Now we got to go over there." But he didn't like to say that word at all because that's not one of his words. Death is not something that God came up with. And see, people were not created to die. Did you know that? We were not created to die. That's why death is such a mystery to people. Crossing over is something that we've never done before. You know, but we were created to live in that garden and just keep expanding that garden. And in fact, after, you know, God told Adam not to eat of that fruit, or you'll surely die. Well, he ate of that fruit, and he didn't physically die right away, did he? Spiritually, he did die. And it took another, whatever, 800 years to get him knocked off. Because Satan had enough time working on the curse to get it perfected yet. It, now, you know, he's got the curse kind of got the screws tightened down a little bit where people don't live nearly as long as they used to. But go over to Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. It says, therefore, now this is Jesus talking here. It says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that we have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. See, there's enough problems in the day. You don't have to be worrying about tomorrow. Take care of today. That's all you can do. You can take care of today, right? You can't fix tomorrow. You can't fix yesterday, but you got today. That's why Jesus said, you know, take no thought. Literally, he doesn't want you worried about the future. And he doesn't want you to be remorseful about the past. The only way that can happen is if you stay in the day. That's what you got is today. See, take no thought. God does not want us to worry about whatever happens in the world. You know, John 17, verse 16. We'll go there real quick. John 17, verse 16. Says, they're not of the world, or, yeah, 17, verse 16, says, they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Did you notice? We're not of this world. We're in this world. We're in this world. We've got to deal with this world, but we're not of this world. We belong to a different kingdom. We belong to the kingdom of God. There, the kingdom of God resides on the inside of you. Sure, we're in this world. We got to deal with this world. We got to vote on things. We got to take care of different things. But we're not to be controlled by this world. You know, one of the things kind of irritated me about the King James Bible is it told us to pray for everybody. Pray for the kings and rulers and all these people. You know, always pray for these people. If you look in the Scofield Bible, it tells us to, in that same verse, to pray against wicked rulers. You know, it really did drive me nuts to have to pray for Obama and Biden. And I thought, why would I pray for them rats? Well, in a verse before this control freak named King James got control of everything, told us to pray against wicked rulers, wicked governors. That sounds more like a Christian standing up to the government now, doesn't it? instead of being submissive to the government. See, we've been trained to be so submissive and weak, you know, the church isn't any even recognizable to what it used to be. The pilgrims that came over on the boats, they were persecuted for years. They were separated from their families for years before they finally got over here. And they didn't bring a King James Bible with them. No, they had a different Bible that taught them to stand up to the government. And then somehow they got the King James in back in on us. And here we are, bound down to the government. I got a question for you. Since we know that we have some very satanic people in the government, when was it ever acceptable for the church to bow a knee to Satan? Never, ever. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That means you stand up to wickedness. See, we don't need to be affected by whatever is causing the world to be afraid. You notice there are a lot of people running around that are absolutely afraid. They're afraid what's going to happen tomorrow, the next day. What if Trump does this? What if Trump doesn't do this? What if this happens? What if that happens? What if they start a nuclear war? What are you going to do about it? I mean, honestly, what are you going to do? Can you stop a war? You can pray. Can you stop anything that the government does other than vote and pray? Then don't waste your time worrying about it. There's nothing you can do about it. You belong to God. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Nuclear bomb lands on us right now, you're in the presence of Jesus. How bad can that be? You won. You get your crown. You won. If a nuclear bomb doesn't land on us, you won. You're still here. Amen. See, Paul said, you know, whether I live or die, if I die, I'm in Christ. But if I live, then that's good for you guys. But he wasn't worried about it. Jesus wasn't worried about it. God does not want you to be worried in your day-to-day life. Amen? Now I know, we always have to have everything figured out, don't we? I know, we got to take our paper and our pencil out, and we got to draw out our plans, and we got to write it out, and we got to know, we're going from point A to point Z. And we got these plans, these ideas in our minds that B is the next step and it's straight, C is the next step and it's straight, D. But what we don't understand is we don't really know what happens tomorrow. B might be over there, 100 miles out of our way. C might be back over there, 200 miles out of our way. And D might be back at our starting place. We have absolutely no idea how we're going to get from point A to point B. Amen. But can you change it by worrying about it? No. The only thing I've noticed about people that worry all the time is they age a lot faster. You know, some of them follow all the directions that we get taught in school, and they get it all right, and they're bald-headed and wore out by the time they're 50, 60. See, in the way of righteousness is life, and in its pathway is no death. You know something about the patriarchs of the Old Testament? They didn't suffer during famines. These famines occurred in their lifetime. You ever notice that? Isaac sowed in a famine, and he reaped a hundredfold return. You know, there's people won't even plant in a drought. But Isaac sowed in a famine, and he reaped a hundredfold return. I'll tell you something. It's not just an Old Testament story. That's something that you can take into effect today. My friend, he has a ranch in Montana, and he planted wheat, and it wasn't raining. And everybody down there were getting pretty desperate. And he said, "You don't need rain. You don't need rain to grow wheat." And they said, "You are nuts." No, he said, Isaac sowed in a famine, and he reaped a hundredfold return. So the thing about wheat is sometimes it can grow tall enough you can cut it for hay. You know, it won't make grain, but you can cut it for hay. Sometimes it doesn't grow that tall, so you just got to plow it under. So most everybody was plowing theirs under because it didn't grow enough to even cut for hay. Not his wheat. His wheat was growing. And he was getting ready to combine, and they said, "You need a truck?" He said, "Yeah." "So we'll send you a little one." He said, "No, send me a big truck." I said, "Why?" He said, "I need a big truck for my wheat." And he had a really, really, really good crop of wheat. It didn't rain. Isaac. But he put his faith in God's word. See, and he used the words of his mouth to produce a good crop. Did any of you ever watch Faith Like Potatoes? That guy reaped a bountiful harvest of potatoes with the most pathetic vines you ever saw. Everybody thought he was crazy. And then they went out there and dug up one, and they found big potatoes, and then all the neighbors come over there and help them harvest. It didn't rain. See, you're in this world, you're not of this world. Now the words of your mouth, is what is going to be the key to this. See, my same friend that had that bountiful harvest of wheat got his mouth in the wrong direction, and he lived on the same road that we live on, and he said, "You know, I finally decided in Wyoming, in northeast Wyoming, it's just going to be winter, it's going to be snow this deep, you just got to get over it." So my other friend was standing there and said, "I'm not accepting that. I'm going to have a warm, clear, dry winter." So I'm down here one day, and my friend called me and said, "You never believe what I'm doing." "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm golfing with your brother." This is December. I grew up in northeast Wyoming. I know what December's like. They're out there golfing in their shorts. I said, "What's up with that?" He said, It's really nice here. It's really, really good. It's been a really nice winter. But if you get to the Sunny Slope Road, which is where we lived, the minute you get to the Sunny Slope Road, the snow gets up to your waist and it's cold. See, the words of your mouth, the words of your mouth have a lot more to do with the way things happen for you in this day-to-day business that we call life. Amen. Now Jesus said, take no thought. Literally, take no thought. By saying. See, that's how you take a thought, is by saying it. See, the devil has access to your soul. That's your mind, will emotion. He shoots these bad ideas, these bad thoughts. We call them high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. They're thoughts. You can't keep them from coming. They're going to happen. But it does say to cast those thoughts down in the name of Jesus. Take them captive and cast them down. You may have to spend a little time taking some of these thoughts, casting them down. Some of these thoughts may have even become strongholds. But you can still break those strongholds with the words of your mouth, casting them down. But what happens a lot of time is these thoughts will come, and then people will take that thought by saying that thought. That's how you take a thought. Jesus said, why take you thought by saying? See, the thought comes, and then you say it. Or the thought can come, and you can cast it down. But you're not going to get rid of that thought by positive thinking. See, a lot of people want to get rid of bad thoughts by thinking good thoughts. You're playing mental basketball with yourself. Your thoughts are going to be in order with your words. If you run around saying bad thoughts, you're going to have bad thoughts. You run around saying good thoughts, saying good words, you're going to have good thoughts. See, your subconscious doesn't know up from down. It doesn't know right from wrong. It doesn't know left from right. It does not know anything. Your subconscious does know nothing except for what you teach it. And that's what's going to happen in what we call these fight or flight moments or these knee-jerk moments. Your subconscious is going to do just exactly what you taught it. See, now we can understand a little bit more why it's so important for us to meditate on God's Word now, isn't it? Because what you're saying out of your mouth is what your ears are going to hear, and that's what's going to go into your subconscious. And it takes a while to get that thing trained. It's like a crazy squirrel. It takes a little while to get it under control and get that thing where you got it tuned in. But meditation is the key to it. Now, if you've trained your subconscious to worry, guess what's going to happen? When there's some kind of an excuse to worry, you're going to worry. One of the stupidest things I ever said in my life was somebody said, what about these guys? Well, I get paid to worry about what these guys are doing. I thought, Jesus, that later on I thought, man, that was the dumbest thing I could have ever said. No, we're not supposed to worry. Be diligent, yes. Be diligent. Be tuned into the Holy Spirit. And that's what used to drive a lot of my guys crazy. Because I had this, the world calls it a sixth sense, but I had a spirit leading. So I could send guys out on a job and I'd get a urge, I'd get an urge to call them. And I'd call them and I'd say, you should be about done. And they'd say, where are you at? I'd be in bed. They'd say, well, it doesn't matter. You should be about done. He said, well, they just signed the ticket and I'm walking down the doghouse steps. How did you know? We can be led, we can be told what's going on. But you're not going to get it that way being led by the world. You get it that way being led by the Spirit. Amen. And believe me, there's going to be a lot of opportunities to... The craziness has just begun. There's a lot of things going on, and there's a lot of things we're not going to understand. And almost all of it, we can't change. So you got a choice. You can live your life in love, joy, peace, and the Holy Spirit, which is the kingdom of God. Or you can worry and fret and be mad. How many of you know that being mad at Obama didn't change anything? Didn't change nothing. No matter how much you talked about him, no matter how much you despised him, it didn't change anything. How many of you still prospered when Obama was president? How many of you have survived the oil bust? We all have. We've all survived hard times. Yeah. God has a good track record. You might say 100% track record of bringing us through hard times. See, this is one of the things. See, Paul said, oh death, where is your sting? See, when you understand that every single fear has its root in the fear of death. Every one of them has its root in the fear of death. When you say, death, where is your sting? See, they're no more dying for you. Jesus already done all the dying that needs to be done. Now you just change addresses. That takes a lot of your challenges out of the way. See, now you can face some of these terrible diseases that the world has come up with. You can face them and say, no, I have victory over that. I'm healed by his stripes in the name of Jesus. This sickness cannot come on me. That's part of the curse of the law, and I don't qualify for the curse. And if I don't take another breath, I'm in the arms of Jesus. Either way, I win. Amen. See, sometimes we need to shake ourselves awake and start seeing things clearly, start looking at things the way God sees them, and start seeing ourselves the way God sees us. We're not going to finish this until next week. So, Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for everything you do for us. We thank you that we are victorious. No matter what happens in this world, we win. We win. We thank you that we're the head and not the tail. We're above only and not beneath. We thank you that we're blessed coming in. We're blessed going out. We thank you that our baskets and our storehouses are blessed. And we thank you, Father, that you cause all that we set our hands unto to prosper. We praise you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, yeah, snacks and coffee back here.
I'm back.